Holly Howard from the California STD Control Branch, as Heidi said, and I'm going to be talking about some important missed opportunities for chlamydia retesting among women and implications these may have for structural interventions at the clinic level. The driving force behind this analysis was our serious concern about chlamydia reinfections. We know that women treated for chlamydia are at high risk for rapid repeat infection, and that reinfection rates are often 2 to 3 times baseline rates. And in California, what we see, we have baseline prevalence among female family planning clients around 5%, and our reinfection rates are generally 15%. We also know that chlamydia reinfection is very dangerous for women, as the more chlamydia infections a woman has, the higher her risk of complications. And this graph here summarizes Hillis's findings from 1997, which shows the relative risk between a woman's first chlamydial infection and her subsequent infections. A second infection increases one's risk of PID 4-fold and ectopic pregnancy 2-fold, and 3 or more infections increases this risk even more. In 2002, CDC began recommending retesting of women treated for chlamydia, and the 2006 treatment guidelines specifically recommend encouraging women to return to clinic for a retest approximately 3 months post-treatment, or retesting opportunistically whenever they next seek care within the 3 to 12 months following treatment. And these recommendations are irrespective of whether sex partners were treated. The guidelines stress that retesting is not to be confused with tests of cure, and in fact, due to the sensitivity of NATs, repeat testing prior to 3 to 4 weeks post-treatment should be avoided. Yet in spite of the evidence and the recommendations, retesting rates remain abysmally low. This slide shows retesting rates for the years 2003 to 2007 among a subset of female clients enrolled in FamilyPact, California's largest family planning program. And we see here that among this population, there's been very little change in retesting rates over time. To better understand why retesting rates were low, we took a closer look and discovered that the majority of female cases are returning to clinics at the appropriate time for a retest, but that many of these are simply not being retested during these visits. Looking at this sample of cases from 2006, we saw that 42% did not return during the 1 to 6 months following treatment, 37% returned and were retested appropriately, and the remaining 21% returned but were missed. So 58% of clients in total were returning, and more than a third of these were not retested, a definite missed opportunity. Therefore, our research objective became to further investigate and describe clinic return rates and retesting patterns, and to look at these stratified by visit type, with the hope of informing structural interventions for improved opportunistic retesting. To define our chlamydia-positive cohort with confirmed treatment, we matched 2 large data sets that we had available to us, the FamilyPact claims data set and test results from Quest Diagnostic Laboratories. And just some background to these 2 sets of data. The Family Planning Access Care and Treatment, or FamilyPact program, provides comprehensive reproductive health and family planning services to low-income women and men in California, with over 1.5 million enrolled female clients and over 2,000 participating public and private providers. And approximately 20% of all chlamydial tests billed to FamilyPact are generated by Quest, one of the state's largest commercial laboratories. So using these data sets, we followed a cross-sectional design and included all female clients who tested positive for chlamydia in 2007. Additionally, we limited our cohort to those cases with an appropriate treatment claim that fell on or around the billing date for their positive lab specimen. Return, retesting, and reinfection rates were determined by matching our chlamydia-positive data to ongoing service claims and laboratory test results. For our time frame, we looked at the 1 through 6 months after each client's treatment claim date, though we also used 1 to 12 months for some analyses, and in all cases, data from the first 4 weeks post-treatment were excluded. Mutually exclusive visit types were defined hierarchically into 9 categories based on type and length of services provided, as well as diagnostic and pharmacy codes, and the highest level of services in our hierarchy were those visits that included a pelvic exam. And what we found was that 90,049 female FamilyPact clients were tested for chlamydia by Quest in 2007. Of these, 3.2%, or just under 2,900, tested positive. Billing data could confirm treatment in 64% of these, resulting in 1,828 clients in our cohort. Among this cohort of positive treated clients, We found that 43% were retested at any point within the 1 to 6 months post-treatment, and that 34% were retested specifically the first time they returned to clinic. The reinfection rate was 14%, a 4.4-fold higher rate compared to the baseline prevalence of 3.2%. Looking specifically at the return rates among these clients, the larger pie chart shows us that a good majority, 62%, returned to clinic for one reason or another during those 6 months post-treatment. Among the subset of clients who returned, the smaller pie chart, and the numbers are just coincidentally the same, 38% returned to clinic only once during these 6 months. Looking at the retesting rates among returning clients, 55% were retested at their first return visit, and an additional 14% were retested at a subsequent visit within these 6 months. 31%, almost a third of the clients who returned, were not retested. And just to talk further about this, some further analysis of return and retesting patterns provided strong support for retesting clients the first time they returned to clinic. Among clients who returned 1 to 6 months post-treatment, 38% returned only once, and 47% of these, almost half, were not retested at this one visit. From another angle, among all returning clients, 45% were not retested the first time they returned, and 40% of these patients did not return again during the 6 months post-treatment, and in fact, 29% still had not returned when we looked 12 months out. So we had one opportunity with these clients, and we missed it. Now, to look for important patterns among these missed opportunities, we first stratified the client's return visits by visit type, specifically focusing on their first return visit. And what we saw was that about a quarter of clients who returned were symptomatic, and we defined this specifically as having either genital or reproductive signs on exam. Another 21% had birth control consultation visits that did not include pap smears, sometimes called well woman checks or hope visits in Planned Parenthood speak. About 12% had simple STD test only visits. 9% were visits that included a pap smear, such as annuals or repaps. 9% were limited service visits for either pregnancy testing or emergency contraception only. 6% were limited service visits for birth control refills, such as depot shots or pill pack pickups. 4% had extended service visits for a pregnancy test. We think these may be positive pregnancy results or perhaps infertility consultations. And 3% returned for some sort of pap-related follow-up, such as colposcopy or cryotherapy. 12% of client visits included none of these services and or cannot be categorized due to missing or incomplete claims data. Next, we stratified retesting rates by return visit type. And what we saw was that, not surprisingly, the highest retesting rates were among those clients who had STD test-only visits, followed by those with pap smear-related visits. About 3/4 of clients were retested if they were symptomatic, and slightly less than half of those extended service visits for either birth control consultations or pregnancy testing got a retest. Of concern were the very low rates of retesting, only about 25% among clients with limited service visits for pregnancy testing, EC, or birth control refills. And pap follow-up visits, which by definition in our coding included a pelvic exam, had the lowest rates overall at 19% retested. In total, 55% of returning clients were retested at their first return visit. On this slide, reinfection rates by visit type have been overlaid on top of the previous slide's retesting rates. Reinfection rates appear to be significantly higher for the limited service pregnancy testing, EC, and birth control refill visits, the same visits that were found to have exceptionally low retesting rates. These results demonstrate that both differential retesting patterns and reinfection rates are occurring and provide support for retesting patients outside of just those visits traditionally reserved for STD testing. We see high reinfection rates at pregnancy test, EC, and birth control refill visits, not surprisingly, as we know clients requesting pregnancy tests and emergency contraception invariably have had unprotected sex, and clients who need birth control refills for hormonal contraceptives may be less likely using barrier methods for STD protection during intercourse. The currently astronomically low retesting rates at these visit types also provides an opportunity, perhaps, to pick some low-hanging fruit. And finally, retesting rates at these visits is as easy as 1-2-P. Standing orders can allow lower-level staff to give out urine cups or vaginal swabs. When indicated, no clinicians are needed to collect these specimens. Results from these analyses have implications for additional structural interventions at the clinic level, regardless of visit type. Paper or electronic charts can be flagged to prompt retesting whenever a client returns for services, irrespective of reason. A simple trigger question can be added to the various visit type specific intake and history forms that clients are asked to complete. And enhanced counseling messages and patient education materials may even potentially increase patient return rates. One last interesting result from our analyses, when looking at the proportions of all retests performed by month across the 12 months post-treatment shown here in the maroon bars, we saw that the highest proportions of retesting occurred in the earliest months. The proportions of reinfections detected by month, shown in the blue line, also indicate high numbers in these earliest months. Although the current guidelines recommend that opportunistic testing occur whenever a patient seeks care starting at 3 months post-treatment, in this cohort, 42% of the retests were performed, and most importantly, 30% of the reinfections for the whole year were detected during that time period that was earlier than 3 months post-treatment. To summarize the key findings in this analysis, there were evident, clear missed opportunities. 31% of clients who returned to clinic were not retested, and 45% of clients who returned to clinic were not retested at their first visit. And of the clients not retested at their first visit, 40% didn't return again. The lowest retesting rates were discovered at limited service visits for pregnancy testing, EC, and birth control refills, and we saw that high reinfection rates were evident among retested clients pretty much across the board, with the highest rates seen at these same limited service visits, and a high proportion of reinfections being detected less than 3 months post-treatment. There are a number of limitations to using administrative claims data to perform an analysis of quality of care. Using claims data to categorize clinic visit types was certainly a challenge, and we tried to minimize misclassification by consulting extensively with Family Pack clinicians and program staff who know the billing codes intimately. Using claims data to determine whether a client was treated certainly underestimated our cohort of treated clients, leading to possible misclassification. And actually, simply by limiting our analysis to treated clients only, we likely overestimated return and retesting rates compared with the larger cohort of all positive clients. However, when we analyzed our data for all clients regardless of treatment, our final conclusions, the proportions returning and retested by visit type, remained identical. Many thanks to my co-authors on this analysis. And I'll just leave that slide up.
Thank you. We have time for a couple questions.
Hi, Charlotte.
Nice job, Holly.
Thanks.
You've done a great job looking at the problem of retesting, and I would like to one comment, one question. Comment is that many of those that you found within 1 month or 2 months, some of those may have been false positives in that you may be measuring antigen or nucleic.
Well, remember, we did exclude all data within the first 4 weeks. So it's from 31 days to 90 days, but yeah. It's still possible.
It's still possible that some of those were false positives. And then my other question is, now that you have this great source of data, what are you going to do about it? I look forward to coming back in 2 years and finding what you did to increase your retesting rates.
Can everyone hear Charlotte's questions?
Why don't you repeat it for the recording?
Oh, for the recording, Charlotte was asking, your comment was that perhaps some of the early positive reinfections detected could be false positives. It's a very good point. And asking about what are we going to do with these data. Actually, thank you for lining up our plug for our study that we're doing. We just got a big grant from OPA, and we're rolling out a large study called, we call it In Touch, and we're actually putting a lot of these interventions that we talked about in here in place, as well as some additional interventions targeting the client, offering the client different opportunities to customize their own care, to get reminder messages about their retest via text message, email, and or postcard, and also giving clients an opportunity to take their retest at home using a vaginal swab that they just mail in. And so we're going to be measuring sort of enhanced clinical technical assistance, where we work with clinics to put these types of structural interventions in place. We'll be measuring that compared to baseline. And then on top of that, we'll be layering these client options, and we'll be measuring that compared to just the clinic-based interventions compared to baseline. And we're going to be doing that. So study's called In Touch, over the next couple of years. But we're also, aside from the study, talking with clinics constantly now and sharing these data, and we have seen some anecdotal evidence that these types of interventions have a real real impact. Yes.
California is an expedited partner therapy state.
Correct. California has EPT, PDPT, correct.
So it seems like also in terms of trying to drive, you want a greater proportion of your chlamydia gonorrhea patients retested, but you also want to make sure that reinfection rates are dropping, and it just seems like you have a great opportunity. I don't know how far back you're able to go in that data set to see if the use of EPT, I don't know if that's a CPT code or not, but whether that has changed the reinfection rates as well.
Actually, because of The question was, does California allow for PDPT? Yes, it's been legal for chlamydia since 2001 and for gonorrhea since 2007. And unfortunately, although we have this great program called Family Pack that provides comprehensive care, it is a Medicaid program and has limitations around payment for services. Clients have to be, and I was really excited when John Douglas was talking about his conversations currently, or CDC's with HRSA around this exact issue, clients currently have to be enrolled in the program in order to get services paid for. So currently, patient-delivered partner therapy is not considered a service that's tied to the index patient. And so we have used some IPP dollars, actually working with our Title X grantee, California Family Health Council, to support funding of buying the medications, packaging them, and sending them to all the Title X clinics that are interested in this program so that they have a way to give medication out and use PDPT. So it's legal, but there was no funding mechanism for it. So for that reason, we can't follow it on administrative claims data because officially they're not supposed to be. Although we have seen sometimes the double doses of azithromycin, but it's hard to measure. But it's funny that you say that, because we actually have a talking points paper that we're putting out from California that's all about this holistic idea of tackling reinfections, and the two fists that you tackle it with are partner treatment and retesting. And so we talk about that very holistically. We talk about reinfections being a big danger for women, so that's coming.